You're rebellious. Verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You cannot separate the submissive spirit with the humble spirit. You can't separate it. It goes together inseparably. The insubmissive spirit is immediately pride. And that's why it mentions it a couple times here, right with submission. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. The problem with a lot of insubmission in an insubmissive spirit, or just insubmissive actions as well, which a spirit goes with insubmissive actions, is you trying to lift yourself up. You're not willing to be subject under. You're not willing to not get recognition. You're not willing to have your opinion be quiet. You want to be heard. You want to be recognized. You want to be represented. You want to lift yourself up. And that's pride. And that's why in verse 10 it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and let him lift you up. He shall lift you up. When it's the right time. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. That's the spirit of submission. And not only say, if the Lord will, but mean, if the Lord will. We shall live and do this or that. Tonight we're going to be talking about things that the Bible talks about, characteristics, things that I see as it talks about submission in different areas. And the spirit of submission applies in every level of submission. And submission isn't to talking to the ladies. Submission is talking to everybody in this room, from children all the way to the highest leaders. Because the bottom line of submission is submit to God and resist the devil. And that applies to everybody. So we're going to go through some of these sections of scripture that talk about submission, and we're going to apply these principles to everybody. We're going to recognize that what God expects to see in the spirit of submission. But I see here when he's talking about submitting to God in this James here, we get down here, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the thing about rebellion is a result of knowing to do good and the result of a choice. Submission is the result of a choice and rebellion is the result of a choice. You definitely qualify for having known to do good and doing it not. And the reason I'm talking about the spirit of submission is because there's a lot of obedience that is not submission. There's a lot of obedience in a lot of ways that is not submission. You can't, oh yeah, I know. Obedience to somebody who's telling you to do something bad is insubmission to God. Right. Obedience to somebody good who's telling you to do something good without other ingredients involved in that operation is still an insubmissive spirit. And the spirit of submission, without the spirit of submission, you are rebellious. It's the thing where I tell you to stand up. And you stand up and you say you're sitting down on the inside. Or I tell you to sit down and you feel like you're standing up on the inside. That's what we're talking about too. There was obedience without submission. And not the spirit of submission. And if God doesn't see the spirit of submission, he doesn't care what you're doing on the outside. He cares what you're doing on the inside. And if we can get the spirit of submission, then the outside will conform in every appropriate place. And there will not be, other than the fact of confusion or maybe misunderstanding, there will be appropriate action with the spirit of submission. I think there's a lot of people that think that they're submissive because they do what they're told, or they ended up doing what they're told, or, okay, I'll submit because you're my authority. And everybody knows that person does not have a submissive spirit. And in God's book, He's writing down rebellious. I did what I was told. Rebellious. That will not get you into heaven. You do not want to stand before God's throne and have rebellious on your record. You will not get a pass, I promise. You will not get a pass if it's the God that wrote this book. And I fear that there's a lot of, should we call it what it is? Rebellion left. And it flares up inside of us at different times. And when we recognize that, it needs to be dealt with harshly. You talk about self-discipline, that's one to practice on. The spirit of rebellion versus the spirit of submission. The spirit of rebellion should not be tolerated in your life if you have any hope of a future in heaven. And as I was thinking about what one thing we could talk about that would be most pertinent for that day, and I was praying about it, this topic came to my mind, no other topic. I felt very empty about what I was going to talk about tonight. And then this one came. And I think it hits a root that we need to pay attention to. If the Lord will, take that spirit of submission and apply it to other authorities in your life. Where I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do this. Like, I have a father. I have a mother. I'm going to do this. I've got an authority here. Let me go see if that's in line with what they would will. That spirit of submission. This is the principle of the spirit of submission. You seek out the will of your authority. You're submitted to their will. You want their will to be work through you. You're not trying to work your own will and I'm going to do it until I'm told to be stopped. Until I'm told to stop, I'm going to do it. We're going to do it unless they catch us. We're going to make a plan and hope they don't find out about it until it's too late. That's all the spirit of rebellion. That is not the spirit of submission. And so I see one of the ingredients of the spirit of submission when I read this passage. If the Lord will. And that one is so important. If your authorities could stand there and say, you know what? That child, that person is very concerned about what I will, what my will is in the situation. They seem to care. They're very much in their place. I don't care if you say it about yourself. I'm talking about if the authority says it about you. Especially if God says it about you. If the Lord will. If Father will. Well, I know that Father would prefer. What would the spirit of submission do? Oh, he just always, if I do what he prefers all the time, he'll spoil all my fun. Spirit of rebellion. And that, the reason I started with this is because a lot of people want to excuse rebellion and call it something else. There's times when you can disobey. There's times when you can still be called submission. I want to tell you, when Daniel disobeyed and the king found out about it, he had such a track record of the spirit of submission that the king was sore displeased with himself and sought to save Daniel and override his own decree. Because Daniel was valuable. Daniel only sought what the king willed. Unless it absolutely violated God's command and he could not comply. Daniel had that reputation with an ungodly king in an ungodly land. That's powerful. Probably more powerful than we realize. I think Daniel had to give up a lot of Daniel's preferences and ideas about perfection and the way things ought to be, and sought the will of the king until it violated his submission to God. Then he had to resist the devil. But I think there was a lot of preferences and things that he thought would have been better, things that he thought would have been wiser. Oh yeah, well if it's wiser and God wants us to be wise, then I can make this a conviction real quick. I think there was a lot of things in that ungodly realm that Daniel submitted to and sought the will of the king because of God's chain of command and his respect for God's authority and his spirit of submission submitted until it directly violated God and he was being commanded to stop something that he could not stop. In direct violation. And because of that spirit of submission, he had such a reputation with this ungodly king that the king was sore displeased with himself. Find another king that's sore displeased with himself when you rebel. Think about that. That is a powerful testimony to Daniel's excellent spirit. I think excellent was just failing for words. Either that or we shouldn't be quick to call ourselves an excellent spirit. That's quite a testimony. And I'm not saying that in every situation you're going to have the result of Darius. He seemed to be an honest, decent, honest person, but he did just make a decree that everybody had to worship him, okay? You can't make him out as a God-fearing man. And yet, he was displeased with himself. When he signed that decree, he was totally in love with himself. But because of Daniel's submissive spirit, it was not good for the king to get rid of Daniel. Think about it. So I bring that scenario in. So when you sit back there and justify something as submission to God when resisting authority, there's a backdrop there that's immediate in front of us. There was a reputation. Such a reputation. He didn't wait for the moment and then begin to be excellent and work his way through this excellently by not obeying God. That would have been the thing to do. Okay? If Daniel didn't have the reputation of an excellent spirit, it would have been the thing to do. But I don't think the angel would have showed up, and I don't think the king would have been sore displeased with himself, and I don't think he would have put a decree all over the land that everybody needs to worship the God of Daniel. I think it would have been a bad situation where someone lost their life because they decided to serve God when put to a choice. But they hadn't been living for that moment and had that kind of a reputation and that powerful of an influence to an ungodly king. If the Lord will, don't forget, that is one of the ingredients to the recipe of the spirit of submission in any one of your authorities. They need to know that you are seeking to fulfill their will and not your own. In 1 Peter 5:1, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." There is the chief shepherd. It's Jesus. It's God. And that's why I said these principles of authority and submission. You talk about the principle of the spirit of submission. It goes to every, from the government all the way to the child. Everybody has to live by the spirit of submission. And every principle we talk about tonight applies to me as much as it applies to anybody. And God looks down, and whoever is over me on God's tier of authority should be recognizing the excellent spirit, the spirit of submission. And I should be building such a character and a testimony for them that when I have to disregard them, they're sore displeased with themselves. Or at least it has a level of convicting power. There is a chief shepherd. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The reason rebellion kicks in, it is an effort of self-exaltation to one degree or another. I don't care if your rebellion is melting in a puddle and looking totally humiliating to yourself. If it is keeping you from doing what you ought to do by getting up and doing what you ought to do, it is rebellion in the puddle. Humility takes God's recipe, whatever it is. Humility will have appropriate repentance. They will get up and begin doing God's will again. There's so much false humility, false submission in this world that it's appalling. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Quit worrying about self-exaltation. Quit worrying about what everybody thinks about you. Quit worrying about those types of things. It doesn't mean be a nerd. It means stop letting that dictate your life. Let God exalt you. God doesn't want you to be a nerd. God wants you to fit in appropriate ways. He wants you to do good things. He wants you to be appropriate. But find out what His will is for you and let Him exalt you in due time. At the moment, it may look like this is going to make me look bad. But if that's God's will, you follow that path and let Him exalt you in due time. That is the spirit of submission. The spirit of rebellion is all about saving you. You exalting you. And that's why it says, humble yourself and let God exalt you in due time. Rebellion is an effort at the shortcut of self-exaltation. And it ultimately is self-defeating. Younger, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another. The appropriate levels and chain of God's command, and also remember, we're submitting to God, resisting the devil. That's what our life's all about. God set up the chain of command. And so we submit to the chain of command until it tells us to violate God's word. Violate God. And I'm commanded to do it. And I can't do it. But I can still disobey in the spirit of submission. Because I'm submitting to God. And I will not violate any of God's rules or ingredients of the spirit of submission while disregarding this command from this man who wants me to violate that submission to God. I will not get cocky. I will not get proud. I will seek to win that person. There might even be a verse about that. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. You know, when I think of that, in light of what we're talking about, submitting to God, resisting the devil, it brings that verse into a little different light. If truth comes through someone who isn't my declared authority, but I'm submitting to God and resisting the devil, then I submit to that truth as to God. They're not my authority in any other realm. But if truth comes to you, now I think this verse is talking about everybody in your proper place, but this principle that if truth comes to me through my child, if truth comes to me through my equal, God's trying to tell me something through my whatever, I'm submitting to God, resisting the devil. Just like if evil comes to you through your actual authority, you still have to submit to God, resist the devil. If truth comes to you through somebody that you don't recognize as your authority, that same spirit of submission to God that could resist a man authority to obey the God authority will take the God authority from anybody. Right. Recognizing it as submission to God. And you have the spirit of submission to God. And that's why it says probably, and be clothed with humility. Because it's going to take that. Because God does resist the proud. Folks, the last thing you want to experience on Judgment Day is God resisting the proud and you showing up with pride. Showing up with rebellion. Showing up with something other than the spirit of submission. These are things. This is like preparation class for the greatest day of your life. And things, you're being told things that are absolutely essential, I believe, to a pass on that day. At judgment. If you fail that day, you failed everything miserably. But I believe that this is a key ingredient. The spirit of submission that God sees in your life. Not the flare up of anger. Not the resistance in your heart. Not all that garbage. The spirit of submission on Judgment Day is going to be a powerful testimony for you. If you have it. Because God resists the proud. And in submission and rebellion is pride. Absolutely and automatically. What do you do when you feel misrepresented, when you feel misunderstood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Do you got to exalt yourself? In 1 Peter 3:1, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, your chaste conduct." We're talking about more of the ingredients of the spirit of submission. These ingredients apply to everyone who wants to have the spirit of submission. While they behold your chaste conduct coupled with fear. Somebody who can keep rank. A very valuable individual. Somebody who looks out to fulfill the will of their master, the will of their authority, not seeking to pull them down. Someone who the authority can trust all of their well-being into their hands and turn away and know it's safe. I'm safe in his hands. He wanted to set Daniel over the whole realm. That doesn't happen overnight or by accident as a slave. To an ungodly king. These men will be there at Judgment Day. A lot closer to you than they are today. And when their character is held up next to yours. As you attempt to enter the same heaven. You'll be wishing that you had applied these principles like your life depended on it. While they behold your chaste conduct coupled with fear. Is that your attitude in general in the world? Is that what your leaders see in you? Such an attitude of reverence and respect and honor towards your authority that they would potentially be won without the word, like Darius? That they also may without the word be won by the conduct that they see. Is that your reputation to your authority? Listen, in the world today, that is not most people's reputation with their authority. People under authority, that relationship is often a friction point. There's often murmurings that go on behind the scenes. There's often the murmurings that go on above the scenes or behind the scenes the other way. Because it's a friction point because there's so much pride in humans. We don't have the spirit of submission. And your authority in most cases, we're not about to be won over from his own opinion and his own will to follow what you have who's subject to him. Because he so admires your character. That's not how it was for Daniel. whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is incorruptible, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, there are differences depending on your role in life, maybe as a woman or as a leader, as a man, whatever. There may be different outworkings of this principle. There may be different actions that you have to take. The man may be more outgoing. It should be more of leadership. The woman should be more laid back and in her place. That's because of the way God set it up. It's not because some man wanted it to be that way and took control. There's a lot of men who'd like to just shut up and be quiet and not have to be a leader. And there's a lot of women who'd like to get loud and noisy and be heard and make sure they get their opinion out there too. All of that is in submission to God. A man needs to be willing to step up, find out his role for God, and fill it. And a woman needs to be willing to find her role for God and fill it. And so we see this meek and quiet spirit. Well, definitely meek can apply to anybody. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And in some cases, in a lot of cases, that quiet spirit would be appropriate too. But not in the same degree as it would for a woman. A woman with a submissive spirit is going to be, is not going to be making her voice heard loud and clear, and hard for the authority to shut her up, and hard to keep her in control, and concerned about, you know, what she's going to say. Not the woman with the spirit of submission. Not going to happen. And in most cases, any man under authority, not going to happen either. But definitely, there's different levels. Think of the child. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, it says. I don't think it said that on accident either. And he will lift you up. He will exalt you in due time. Who trusted in God. They adorned themselves this way. Being in subjection to their own husbands. In other words, if this is not you, if you do not have the spirit of submission ruling your life, the spirit of submission to God, which is admirable to any leader on earth, unless he's just rank and wicked. That one was pretty bad and it was still admirable. Because it was an excellent spirit. It didn't say a compromising spirit. Was an excellent spirit that was found in him. He knew how to work with the situation he was given and navigate that thing. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands. Now here's something for the husbands. When it commands anybody, we have to listen with the spirit of submission. Because this is God's word to you. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Realize you're not that far apart, and God put you in this position. Don't get big-headed. You still operate and function in your position in the spirit of submission. Which is the opposite of the spirit of arrogance. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's like God has strong feelings about a husband or anybody. This is a principle here. Anybody in their leadership position, God trusts you with some leadership. And you get big-headed and start mistreating those under you in a way that makes it hard for them to even submit to God when He puts you over them to make it better for them to submit to God. To draw them to God is why you're there. To uphold the good and put down the evil is why you're there. At any level of authority. You're there to support God's purposes. And when you begin to take it and use it for anything else, He doesn't like it. He'd better see the spirit of submission ruling in the hearts of leaders. And realizing they were given a big responsibility. What is the will of my master? What is the will of the chief shepherd? Why would he have put me over this? Just to make me powerful? Just to make it sure I get, don't have to take out the trash? Just, you think God did that for you? No, we wouldn't say that. If you're operating in your leadership position in a way that promotes you in a way that God would not endorse, you are operating outside of the realm of submission to God. You do not have the spirit of submission. You're a usurper. And your prayers will be hindered, implies. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Don't go wild with be pitiful. I've seen people try to be pitiful before. They didn't understand that. Have pity. Be courteous. Love his brethren. That all comes from the proper spirit of submission to God. Right. All that friction. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Right. Those lusts that war in your members. It gets in the way. When you have the spirit of submission to God and you want God to exalt you in due time and you don't want to be exalted any sooner than that, then you can love your brethren. You can pity a situation. You can be courteous. It's not about you. And God will exalt you in due time. You shouldn't want it any sooner. Because it's not His will yet. It's not the right kind. It's not the best exaltation. God has the best in mind. Wait till it's due time. Let God decide that. And you will find that friction in relationships will cease. Or at least it won't be your fault. It was never my fault. I wondered about that. You trying to get one on another person. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Blessing for evil? Yeah. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, if you get thrown into the den of lions, if you get beaten, thrown into prison, you're operating in the spirit of submission to God, and you suffer for righteousness' sake, moping rope! Make sure everybody hears about it. Does your Bible have that verse? I think yours reads just like mine reads. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you did good, you didn't do anything wrong, and you got punished, you got misrepresented, you got laughed at, you got scolded, you got whatever, because you had the spirit of submission to God. You weren't trying to exalt yourself anyway, right? Happy are ye. Why? Because you submitted to God and you're letting Him exalt you in due time. You're not out to exalt yourself anyway. And you understand that this is getting you in a position with God that's good. I trust God with this situation. Happy are ye. So what are you if you can't have? It doesn't mean you're bubbles of joy, but you're happy. You're at peace. You're not whining. You're not mopey and gropey and a big problem. What would it be that would make you mopey and gropey? Doesn't that sound terrible when I read it that way? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, be mopey, gropey, sulky, be pitiful. The wrong way. Doesn't that sound terrible? Well, it sounds terrible. But there's not a lot of us who can take criticism, misrepresentation, punishment, or anything when we've done something right and have the joy of the Lord knowing that God knows I don't need to make it clear. I don't need to make my voice heard. I'm happy that God knows He will exalt me in due time. I'm happy with that. And so when that happens, you're happy. You're joyful inside. You have the joy of the Lord in your heart. It doesn't take it. You can still be a blessing to others. Not rendering evil for evil, but contrary wise blessing. You can bless them knowing that you'll receive a blessing from the Lord. That's not the everyday result or response to these situations. Most of the time we're that terrible character that the Bible didn't talk about that I added. It's because we're still worried about our self-exaltation. We have not surrendered all. We are not totally operating in the spirit of submission. And we're not just, when you operate in the spirit of submission, this part of the ingredients to that recipe is that you're happy there. You're happy with the outcome. You're happy with anything. You're happy with the spirit of submission to God and fulfilling God's will in your life. If you're not happy doing that, you do not have the spirit of submission. And so when you get punished, when you get mistreated, when it hurts, you still have the joy of the Lord because I was submitting to God. That's what it's a success. It wasn't a failure. It was a success. Actually, it's more of a success because when I understand the way God works, this was more of a success. And I'm happy submitting to God. When you start feeling like, somebody did me wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't have got that. I shouldn't be treated this way. I should be... It's pride. You suffered. You might have done right and suffered. But you just revealed the fact that you're not willing to let God exalt you in due time. You're ready to... You feel like God failed you, and you're ready to exalt yourself a little bit. You want to be heard? You want to right the wrong right now. That doesn't go with the excellent character. I would imagine, I think I could safely imagine, that he was done wrong a few times, you think? As a slave, carried away. You think he was done wrong a few times? And his leader... He thought so too. But Darius is the one who saw an excellent spirit and was angry with himself when he was disobeyed. Do you think that guy was disrespected a few times, degraded a few times, mocked a few times, maybe punished unjustly a few times? I would think so. And that ungodly leader finally got to the point where he goes, I see an excellent spirit. As dominion and kingdoms changed, Daniel seemed to maintain a fairly decent position. I think word continued. I think he had this testimony from way back. That excellent spirit. There's quite a recipe to that. And it had quite a result. And I know that tonight I'm going to fall way short. But Daniel's not here to give us the recipe. So I'm trying to extract some of what I think's a part of it. So that we can become like that. And when he's standing next to us on Judgment Day, you don't have to look so bad. If you care about that. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conduct, your good conversation in Christ. I think Darius was ashamed. There'll be all kinds of false accusations get flown in the world. Especially when somebody who's subpar sees somebody who's trying to be good, noble, excellent. There's always garbage thrown at him to make him look pride or to try to turn that thing on its head. You're not so good. It's like, guys, we are hunting for a totally different goal. And that's okay. Someday, they're going to be ashamed. And sometimes it isn't too long. False accusation on your good conduct. Trying to provoke something out of you that would be odious. So is a little folly to one that has had it for good reputation, for wisdom. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now, if you go back up to 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, we were just in 1 Peter 3, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Obviously, unless they say you can't pray to God. That one's pretty obvious, right? It's not that he said, we're going to feed you Tudah, and you heard from somewhere that as a child, okay, that that's not healthy. And so you're going to argue because my health and it's godly and whatever. Sorry. You go take that into God's courtroom. I'm sure it's a fail. I know how little scruples can become doctrine. God better think so. That's what I'm going to say. God better think so. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter if I think so or not. But God better think so. With Daniel, he didn't have a reputation for resistance, and he was in an ungodly kingdom with an ungodly king who wanted everybody to pray to him. He didn't seem to have all kinds of things that he could have made issues. He was told he had an excellent spirit. He had a submissive spirit. But then he was told he couldn't pray to God. He had to pray to this man. That's not okay. And he's the one who got the angel. So God better think so. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. That's what you're there for. And if you're not doing it, you don't have the spirit of submission to God. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. The spirit of submission doesn't stop and is not manipulated by the activity or the attitude of the person in authority to you, because your spirit of submission is to God. Right. And you will remain that way, and you will operate only in spirits and attitudes and words and actions that are appropriate to submission to God, the spirit of submission to God, and that will only violate a man's authority when it directly violates submission to God, and you are required to do it. He may do all kinds of ungodly things. He may sign decrees that you have to worship him. That doesn't negate your responsibility to have an excellent spirit under that leader while you submit to God until you're commanded to violate God. Also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. This guy must have believed in God. This is thankworthy. That sounds about like what Jesus said. Rejoice and be exceeding glad when they persecute you. You think Jesus ever been to heaven before? You think he might know what he's talking about? That is a direct result of being happy to have submission to God's will and let him exalt you in due time. But this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Well, I endured it. I got through it. What does endure mean? For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? Now, folks, I'm just going to be straight up and honest. Most of our problems here and our relationship with our authority is that one right there. We're buffeted for our faults. We stepped out of line. We said something we shouldn't have said. We did something that wasn't nice. That's most of where the friction comes in. And that's most of where our rebellion shows up. Right. Unless you don't deal with it. And it says, what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. You're respectful. You're honoring. You're sorry. You're patient. You take your punishment. You deal with it just right. No glory there. Is that how you view yourself when you've done it all right? When you got buffeted for your faults? No, most of the time, we want to flare up. Most of the time, we want to get angry. Most of the time, we want to get resistant. Most of the time, even if we take it from the authority because we know it ain't going to go well with us otherwise, somebody else is going to hear about it later. We're going to defend ourselves. We're going to justify ourselves. And God sees all that stuff and he says, you're rebellious. You do not have the spirit of submission. The spirit of submission to God will defend the honor and dignity of your authority. And there's no glory if when you're buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently, there's no glory. That's what you should have done. If that can't set the perspective in your life, if you can't set your perspective that way in your life, don't plan on entering into glory with Daniel. But what I just told you, I believe, means there needs to be adjustments in about all of us. I think there's degrees of rebellion in a lot of people who think they're submissive. And I think this ingredient that we just talked about, and this reality right here that the Bible talks about that we already knew about, I think we feel like we're doing pretty good if we take a punishment and we take it patiently. According to God's terms, we took it. By the way, we took that punishment just as it was intended to take it, as a Christian would. No big deal. You're lucky there's even forgiveness available for you. You should have taken it that way. And we feel like we've done pretty good because of the false grace in this world. No glory there. But, and if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, it's possible that in some cases it would be easier to take it patiently because you know that verse. When you've done something good and somebody outside, you know, criticizes you for it, it's possible that in some cases that's easier for you than when you've done something wrong and you get rebuked. That rebellion will flare up. That's possible. But any one of those situations, we better set our sights on what, and set our perspective to this reality. This is acceptable with God. When you do well and suffer for it. Now, what if when you do well and your friend criticizes you? What if when you do well and you tease about it? What if you do well and you're misunderstood or misrepresented or discipline from mom or dad? That's a whole different story. I will just tell you. If you did something well and you got a spanking for it, or you got discipline, you got a fine, or you got told you couldn't go somewhere because they didn't like what you did, and you thought you did it well, you thought you did it right, those are going to be some challenges. But God's watching. But like I said, thankfully, that's not usually our problem right here. Our problem is that we make mistakes and we have a hard time getting corrected. And even if you do it right and you get corrected right, don't get a big head. God's not impressed. He may be pleased that you took it right, but don't start thinking you've done something great. That's the reality that you're going to find yourself living in if you end up in heaven. A reality that views things that way. You understand that, right? The things that you feel like inflate you, what thing? That's not thankworthy. Does he thank that servant? I trow not. It's like, really? That's what Jesus said. We might as well adjust our reality to his reality instead of living in this false reality that we have in this day of deception. We might as well look at the obvious here and go, that's God's reality. I thought I was doing pretty good when I got my rebuke or got my discipline and took it well. Thought I was being a premium example. For even here in 2 were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Can you do that? Can you keep your mouth shut and commit yourself to him that judgeth righteously? That's hard. That requires faith. It requires a good dose of the spirit of submission, allowing God to exalt you in due time. Jesus did this and set this example to his own when his own creation reviled him. When his own creation made him suffer and killed him, so that he could redeem his own creation. It would have been very provoking, very challenging. What an example. In Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How's that ever going to happen in the church unless we can get a good grip on the spirit of submission. We need not be afraid to give admonition and teaching and feel like we're going to get persecuted for righteousness in our own congregation. That would be ridiculous. Iron can't sharpen iron here because sparks fly every time. In verse 18 it says, again, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. As it is fit in the Lord. You can't obey your husband and be in the spirit of submission to God and obey your husband in disobedience to God. When you understand that submission to God is the reason for all of this, submission to God is king. Resisting the devil and submitting to God. God set up the tier of authority and you will submit. But you can't stop praying when you're commanded to stop praying. That's not the spirit of submission. Oh, I'm submitting to my husband. A lot of people will play that game because their husband is more manipulable than God. And so they'll play and pray for that coverage. They'll hope they got covered because of this deal. And that would be very similar to Daniel stop praying to God when he was told to. Be the same thing. That was his God-ordained authority. That would have been in submission. That would not have been an excellent spirit for him to obey that. Oh, the king would have thought so. Maybe. I don't think he would have respected it. Yeah, you can be told you're submissive while operating in outright rebellion. You can be told you're rebellious while operating in the spirit of submission. That's why you set your focus on a spirit of submission to God. A spirit of submission to God. And everything will line up with that. I will not be tossed to and fro by accusation. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children. Servants, obey in all things. Everybody's getting talked to tonight. Submission to God. Spirit of submission to God. God set up authority. Wherever you are in that authority, you seek out the will of every authority above you until it violates God's will. And you only trespass their direction when you're told to disregard God's direction. Not your preference. God's direction. Because it talks about froward masters. Go look the word up. It's not nice. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You can live with that confidence. You don't need to flare up. You don't need to lift yourself up. You don't need to be heard. You don't need to be recognized. You don't need to correct your authority. There is a way to deal with things and there is a way not to deal with things. There is a spirit of pride and there is a spirit of submission. There's all kinds of scenarios in life that there can be, but the same spirit should be seen in everyone. The same spirit. Just like he said to the husbands, you're heirs together of the grace of life. It's like, yeah, and oh, fathers, or don't provoke your children. Mothers, don't provoke your children. There's a spirit of submission to God that recognizes that I'm just in a place here to represent God's will and help bring them to God. I'm not here for me. And so my spirit of submission to God as I climb the ladder of authority still looks like very much the spirit of submission. It's not arrogance. It doesn't turn into a self-promoting ever. You got children to parents, wife to husband, church people to church authority. citizens to civil leaders, church authority to Christ. All kinds of scenarios. And when everybody on that tier of command is operating in the spirit of submission, it can be a beautiful thing. They're excellent spirit. You can even have people like Darius involved in that chain of command who recognize the excellency and are won by the conduct that they see without the word. Disobedience with a good attitude, that is submissive spirit. Where you're like, well, as soon as I say yes, you're going to say no. But I know how some of those can feel. It's like, well, that depends on if you're talking about disobedience to man and obedience to God. But no, I'm talking about disobedience. I'm talking about someone who disobeys the preferences, the will of their authority, but they got a really good attitude. But they just disregard it. No, that's not it. Obedience with a bad attitude, submissive spirit? No. Did I say that you wouldn't get into heaven, or I don't think you're going to get to heaven if you don't have a submissive spirit? Now I'm going to let you answer this question for me. Obedience with a bad attitude and submissive spirit? No. If you struggle with that, you better get it fixed. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Otherwise, it's rebellion. Obedience while spreading a poor me spirit around to gain sympathy? Is that a submissive spirit? Yes or no?
No.
Did we say no? It's no. That I obeyed. You are not seeking the well-being of your authority and their will. You are not seeking to uphold their dignity, their honor of their position in fear of God. You are not seeking to uphold the honor for that position and to that person. You are seeking to take away from their honor and their position because you feel like you were done a little wrong. Or you feel like you were mistreated and you want to tear that down a little bit. That is the spirit of rebellion. Whether you obeyed or not or anything, I don't even care. That is the spirit of rebellion. You should have the honor of your authority, and their honor should be very important to you to protect. Because God put them in that position. And you actually should have a little bit of care and love for them yourself. Anything that is done to tear away from that because you got upset is rebellion. And did we say that you won't get to heaven without the spirit of submission? I could just tell you then you're going straight to hell, okay? But I'm trying to use it in nicer language here. I'm talking about issues that we deal with. Why in the world would I get up here tonight and talk about problems that the heathen have? That would do us a lot of good. We'd all be saying amen. I want to deal with situations that we struggle with. Things that we need to grow. Things that God might see here that need to be dealt with. Those are the issues that I want to deal with, even though they're not comfortable. And I don't want to leave any room for wiggling or getting out of it, because if you don't make it in with Daniel into glory, with you don't have an excellent spirit. I hope I gave you the recipe, and I hope it's on you and not me. But I don't think these things can be argued with. I think they just need to be recognized. Are you easy to lead? Would your authority say that you are easy to lead? I think Darius would say that Daniel was easy to lead. I think he would say that even after the den of lions thing. I think that your leader can't say that you're easy to lead. that you don't have a proper dose of the spirit of submission controlling your life. Does God think we're easy to lead? Well, that is a good question. That's probably the one we ought to be answering. How do you respond to conviction and correction from His tier of authority or in your own heart? There's a good question. Are you easy to lead? Are you easy for God to convict and you make a change? If there's a question, you pray about it. But when you convict, you make a change. Does God think you're easy to lead? Are you very jealous to protect the honor of your authority? One of those being God. Are you very careful to protect and jealous to protect God's honor? In other words, you would never be seen acting in a way as His representative that would dishonor Him. You would never be seen doing anything or having attitudes that would dishonor Him. Very jealous to protect His honor. And the honor of your father and the honor of your church leadership and the honor of your authorities. Are you jealous to protect that? If you are not, and you're happy to tear that down to exalt yourself when you feel like it needs to be done, then you do not have the spirit of submission. When you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently.